All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, fourth and final hour off and running here on a Thursday, day one of the NCAA tournament as it gets going in just over 2 hours Central Time this morning, 11:15 a.m. Central. It'll begin with Louisville, and here to talk all things March Madness, day one of the tournament, we welcome in Rob Doster, NBC Sports, as well as College Basketball Talk on NBC. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Oh, man, I am doing great. I'm ready for this thing to start. We've been waiting for a full year for it. In fact, it's here. Today's the day. I am like a six-year-old on Christmas morning right now.
Well, I think everybody thinks there's probably 6 to 8 teams that can win the national title. Kentucky is one of them. According to reports this morning, P.J. Washington will not play today against Abilene Christian because of the sprained foot. That may not affect Kentucky in the first weekend, but it could certainly impact if he is not healthy or 100% or playing in the second weekend. What does this injury mean for Kentucky and their national title hopes?
Well, if it's the kind of thing that's going to keep them out for an extended period of time, obviously, you know, this is a massive blow. When they made that run in January, where they made the leap from being a team that we thought had the chance to be really, really good to a team that we knew was a national title contender, it was all because P.J. Washington turned into a top-5 player in the country for like a good 6 weeks. And you know, I think Coach Cal, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember what his exact quote was, but he basically said, we don't need P.J. Washington to score 35 and get 20 boards every night, but we need him to play like he's trying to. And Coach Cal recognizes how important P.J. is to what they do. He is he's the guy that makes the matchups work, right? He is the forward that can overpower a smaller defender if you want to go small and still be able to guard him on the perimeter. He is the guy that can be a rim protector and hold his own against bigger defenders on the defensive end and then pull him away from the basket offensively because he can make threes and put the ball on the floor. He's such a useful and versatile player, and not having him in the lineup, like, they don't really have somebody like that. E.J. Montgomery can do it a little bit. And like, they'll be fine against Abilene Christian, and I don't think it'll necessarily hurt them even in the second round against Wofford or Seton Hall. I think they probably have enough to get that job done. But I do think that, you know, long-term, if this is a kind of thing where PJ's not going to be playing by the second weekend, then obviously, like, Kentucky's title hopes take a serious, serious, serious blow.
Now, what Rick Barnes has been able to do with this UT team this past season, a regular season anyway, it has been remarkable. They've had one of the best seasons in school history on the hardwood. Looking at what they've been able to do, where do you see UT? Or do you see them as a Final Four team that has the potential of being a national championship, or do you see this team as an Elite Eight because of the bracket they're in, where they possibly have to face Purdue or Virginia somewhere down the line? Do you see them more so as a Final Four moving into the championship game or an Elite Eight team?
Well, I definitely think they're good enough to win a national title, right? There are, like you mentioned, there are about seven teams, I think, that we can legitimately call national title contenders, and Tennessee is one of those six teams. Now, this is not the ideal bracket for them. You know, I think Virginia, for me, Duke is the best team in the country, full stop, clear cut. And then I think Virginia is the second best team in the country, full stop, clear cut. So ending up in that region is not necessarily ideal. And I don't think that they match up perfectly with Virginia either. But you got to remember, this is a team that has beaten Kentucky twice in, the last month when Kentucky was at full strength. This is a team that beat Gonzaga on a neutral floor when Gonzaga was at full strength. This is a team that has a first-team All-American in Grant Williams. You know, they have guys that are going to end up playing in the NBA. I think Admiral Schofield's going to be a top 40 pick. I think Jordan Bone's got a chance to play in the NBA. So it's not like this is a bad basketball team, and it's not like they don't have a chance to beat Virginia. I mean, Florida State proved it. Like, you don't have to be better than Virginia to be better than them on one night and beat them. So, yeah, I do think that they can get to the Final Four. It's not going to be the easiest road, and I don't think that they would be favored. But you know what? If you're going to go out and win a national title, you're going to have to beat a great team at some point. And just for Tennessee, you know, it's a little unfortunate that they're going to end up having to play Virginia in the Elite Eight before they can get to the Final Four. But if your goal is to win a national title, you're going to have to beat a team like Virginia at some point. So you might as well get it out of the way in the Elite Eight, right?
Rob, one of the things we were discussing this morning, we threw out a hypothetical question. If a national champion or a team is going to make a really deep run off of the one or the two line, who are some of the teams that could make some noise? And there's been a common theme of Florida State. You know, Auburn's a hot team, so four seeds, five seeds. But then you have a team like Houston, who is sitting there as a three seed with a coach like Kelvin Sampson. They won 31 games. And I don't feel like they're getting any recognition. Is it because of the region they're in with Carolina and Kentucky and Auburn and Kansas? And secondly, does their chances really increase if P.J. Washington's injury is big because they could easily meet in the round of 16?
Yeah, you know, they're good. My thing with Houston is I think that they are the kind of team that is going to beat all the teams that they are better than. They have a very high floor in that sense where – you know, they're not going to beat themselves. They're old. They're very well coached. They don't make mistakes. I just don't know how high their ceiling is. And I actually have Iowa State beating them in the second round because I think Iowa State, when they put it all together, Iowa State to me is a top 12 to 15 team in college basketball. I think that they have more talent than anybody else in the Big 12. I think that there are four, maybe five NBA players on that roster. And I think that they have the kind of the lineup makeup. I mean, they're not what Villanova was last year, and I'm not comparing them to Villanova, but the way that Villanova team was built, in the sense they had four or five guys that could play around the perimeter and make a shot and beat somebody one-on-one and attack a closeout and understand how to create a shot for somebody else, Iowa State is kind of in that same mold. So I think Iowa State is actually going to make a run. Now, I need to be clear, because I have to say this. Every time I get on the Iowa State bandwagon, they end up going straight in the tank and having like a three-game losing streak. And we can't have that happening right now. So I am not on the Iowa State bandwagon. I'm never getting back on the Iowa State bandwagon. I just have them going to the Elite Eight.
Well, it's why I'm picking my alma mater to lose to Villanova in the third round because I'm too close to the situation, Rob. Here's the thing. I feel pretty good. You mentioned Virginia being the number two team, full stop. I have Duke and I think Carolina's a clear cut best team in their region. I think they're the most complete team, maybe arguably in all of college basketball. I'm with you on Virginia and Duke. I feel comfortable about picking those three. The region that I've just waffled on all week long. At first, I had Florida State winning it. I could see the case for Michigan. You know, Derek Mason over here has got Syracuse. We've seen Syracuse as a 10 seed make it to the Final Four. Gonzaga's really good, obviously. Murray State's dangerous. I really like Buffalo and Nevada, actually, in this region to make some runs, potentially. Texas Tech's great on defense. I cannot make any heads or tails of this region. How do you see that region playing out?
I think that's going to be the region where insanity happens. And it's just for all the reasons that you mentioned. It feels like we have a good, veteran, tough team in each one of like the top seven or eight seeds. So that's going to be where it's fun. And I'm glad that we always have one region where you just know it's going to get completely bonkers. Now, the worry I have with Syracuse is no Frank Howard. Mm-hmm. Kind of limits them offensively a little bit, and he's really, really good at the top of that zone. And the thing that intrigues me about them against Baylor, the reason I think they win is because Baylor turns the ball over on like 22% of their possessions, and Syracuse is really, really good at turning those turnovers into buckets at the other end. And without Frank Howard, I think that hurts him a little bit. I have Gonzaga losing to Florida State, but I have Florida State losing to Texas Tech in the Elite Eight, and Texas Tech being the team that gets to the Final Four. I'm all in on that team this year. They have what I think is probably the best offensive player in that region in Jarrett Culver. I have him as a first-team All-American. I think that with the way that they can defend, teams are going to have a very, very difficult time scoring on them. And they have been absolutely unconscious from beyond the arc for like 2 months now. And obviously, if they have a night where they're not making their threes, they could probably get knocked out by, you know, maybe even in the second round of the tournament. But I just don't see that happening. I think they've been too consistent. I think they've proven themselves as being one of college basketball's elite this year, and I'm rolling with them. I'm rolling with the Red Raiders. I have a lot of faith in Chris Beard and being able to find this, figure this out.
Yeah. Rob, good stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, you got
Rob. Rob Doster, NBC Sports.
A Texas Tech team, very, very good on defense. Mm-hmm. I think that bracket's going to be crazy. I mean, you can make the case for Buffalo, Florida State, yeah. Gonzaga. You like Syracuse. I mean, you can make the case. Michigan doesn't even get talked about. They're a two seed.
I think Michigan's a bit overrated.
If they match up with athletes.
Yeah.
That's why I like Nevada to beat them in the second round because Nevada's athletes.
I don't have them getting past the second round.
You got Nevada too?
Yeah.
All right. Nevada
over Michigan and then.
Go Wolfpack.
so, you know.
All right, we'll come back. We'll react to a couple of things that Rob had to say. Continue with the March Madness conversation. Hal Gill, bottom of the hour. Stay there. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.